Let's turn in the Word to Ecclesiastes and chapter 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. And this evening we'll be reading verses 6 through 10. Ecclesiastes 8, verses 6 through 10. And first, let's pray to the Lord. Father, we give you all praise that you have poured out the blood of your Son Jesus to cleanse us of all sin. And as we look now to more of the remedies for the vanities of this world, the under sun living, the futileness, the worthlessness of where we often look to live and how to live. Father, we plead that you would turn us from our ways and establish us in your ways. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ecclesiastes 8, verse 6. These are the words of God. Because to every purpose there is time and judgment. Therefore, the misery of man is great upon him. For he knoweth not that which shall be, for who can tell him when it shall be? There is no man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death, and there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. All this have I seen and applied to my heart unto every work that is done under the sun. There is a time wherein one man ruleth over another to his own hurt. And so I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This is also vanity. Those are God's words. And we know what the book is about. At least what we've heard so far, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. We put on vanities and lust after vanities, and yet that is what they will always remain. Vanities. Futile and worthless, as we prayed, and things that drag our hearts down to the pit. We've been hearing most recently of the remedies to these vanities. Well, how can we, who love the Lord, who hate the vanities, turn from those vanities? To put the vanities to death, to mortify those vanities, to mortify sin. The answer, the remedy, is wisdom. To put on wisdom. And for wisdom, you must look above the sun to the Lord, found and especially manifested in Jesus Christ. We have to put on a heavenly mindedness, an eternal mindedness, and keep looking to the Lord and His Word and pleading that the Spirit would do His great work. Last Lord's Day we heard about wisdom itself and then the wisdom in the magistrate, and that's sort of connected with the passage before us. We move on to the second remedy, maybe in this chapter. Wisdom and being prepared. Wisdom and being prepared. You see verse 6, it says, because to every purpose there is time and judgment, therefore the misery of man is great upon him. And that continues from verse 5. Right? Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment, because to every purpose there is time and judgment, therefore the misery of man is great upon him. So we're really continuing from last Lord's Day. Back in chapter 3, Solomon had already gone over that famous saying, the verses, that to everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under heaven. In Proverbs 27, verse 1, it says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. It can bring forth many different things, but we do not know what it will bring forth. Wisdom knows that all things are in the hand of the all-wise and sovereign God, in the hand of the Lord, all things. It's the wise man's heart who can discern this, who can see that when something happens, whether it's the rain or whether it's lights going out, because they keep going out, and some of you have noticed that today, and these little distractions we have in our new building. All these things are in the providence of God. They come at His timing, and you can discern this. Little things, big things. The wise man can take a pregnancy, as we've been praying about Adasa. A wise man can take a pregnancy that's doing great, going well, only upon the day of labor and delivery to have a great emergency where the child is greatly injured and with no fault of man at all. A wise man can discern that this is God's providence. A wise man can discern that for the baby, that while they might not be on the, while they might be on the brink of death, to be first accepting of God's will and His providence. And at the same time being downcast in their, or grieving, suffering, struggling, and yet not downcast because you trust God's providence. Looking for any good thing, any blessing that might happen, in order to praise the Lord for it, even in the praising for that providence that comes, the trial. But as it is, many Christians haven't grasped or been permitted to accept the truth of God's word, of God's sovereignty, of His providence. That the Lord is sovereign over all things. And of course, that's Christians. Well, that's not even to talk about those people of the world who haven't understood these things. Most of mankind, through weakness and many perversions, cannot discern these things. And because they cannot discern the time and what the Lord is doing in a point of time, because they keep looking under the sun, they keep looking on the earth for the answers. Of course, they find none, even Christians who just cannot lift their eyes to the Lord. What is it that happens to such people? That's what's answered in this passage. If you can't discern the providence of God, a time and a judgment. It says, therefore, the misery of man is great upon him. And we've seen that in people. Maybe we've experienced that ourselves. Therefore, the misery of man is great upon him. Misery. People call it today depression. But it's misery. It's a lack of turning to the Lord. A lack of looking above the sun to our Lord in Christ, where alone we have hope. Why misery? Well, verse 7, it says, for he knoweth not that which shall be. For who can tell him when it shall be? When will this trial come upon us? When will we be punished by a magistrate? When will we suffer? Do you know when that will happen? No, you don't. You don't know when things will happen. A car accident, a loved one dies. As many times, perhaps some of you who are older, you've known people who have been in a car accident, friend, family member, neighbor, and they've died. Young man or young woman died. Someone in the church commits a sin and they're unrepentant of it. And that leads to, in the long term, excommunication. They're cut off from the bride of Christ. Very sad thing. You don't know when that will happen in our congregation. Sure, it will at some point happen. We don't want that to happen. But surely it just may happen. But you don't know when that will happen. Misery comes in if you aren't looking above the sun. If you aren't wise. What does wisdom look like in this? It looks like being prepared. It looks like being prepared for such things. Be prepared now for the unexpected, beloved. Right now in our denomination, there is something so wicked that has happened in one of the churches, not in our presbytery, by God's grace, and you don't know the people, we won't go into who and what's happening, but it's so wicked. And it's happened, at least allegedly, by elders, a whole session. Wickedness. Allegedly. They haven't been proven guilty by the presbytery yet. The presbytery is handling it. But what if you were that congregation where if this thing actually had happened, this great wickedness, whatever that might be, hypothetical in our case, since we can't get into details. What if you were that congregation and your elders did something so wicked? These are your elders. You trusted them. You confided in them. If you did not have wisdom, how would you respond? You might doubt. Right? You might doubt. There's a friend of mine who's a pastor. And another pastor in his town had committed adultery, and he was no longer the pastor at the church where he was pastoring because of his adultery. And there were members of that church coming to my friend questioning their salvation. They began to doubt. This is the minister I sat under, and he preached the gospel, and I at first believed. So then as the Lord was using him, and he was using him, does that mean I'm not now a Christian? What does that mean? Right, what do you do? How do you respond to these kinds of things that might happen in the church or in our families or in our lives? If you don't turn to the Lord, if you don't look above the sun and all these examples and the many others that we may experience one day, we could come up with a whole list of examples, pages upon pages of trials and dark providences. Or we could even go to the other side and look at the blessings. And the blessings that God brings, like on a minister, and they raise them up and they become one of these famous pastors, and or come into some great wealth or things like these things. Anything. You can come up with the example. And what if we're not looking above the sun? What if we're not looking to the Lord? We're looking on the earth. We're looking to ourselves. And the Lord says, misery. If we're looking under the sun, if we're looking at ourselves or others, what happens is misery. The misery of man will be great upon you. But if you look above the sun in discernment of times and judgments, then you know. You know why things have happened. Because of God. The Lord has brought it about for His glory. If you look above the sun, you don't know exactly when such things will happen. When they do, you will immediately do what? Look above the sun if you're wise. This is God's will. This is His providence. And it's good for me, if I'm God's child, this is good for me, whether it's good in our eyes or bad in our eyes. We know it's good for us because of what He teaches us in His Word. What does He call me to do now in those times? So it's impossible to foresee the future and various events that may happen. And yet in wisdom we can discern if we are taking certain steps, that those steps do lead in a particular direction, right? And so put on wisdom and think through the consequences of and effects of your actions, of your words. In those times, in all times, that you could prevent temptations, these temptations to misery. He says, look above the sun. That's what He's teaching us. Beloved, a wise and holy man may be confident that whatever happens shall be for his good. Whatever happens for his good, however contrary it may be to his desire or his planning or his expectation. The Scripture says, therefore, let no man glory in men, For all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Wisdom looks above the sun. Verse 8, it says, there is no man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. And there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. No one has power over life. No one here has power over the breath of life or even your soul. No, now you can live healthy, physically healthy lives. And you can believe that's extending your life. And under the sun, or what we experience, yes, it's extending our lives. We could say that. If you eat junk food all the time and you never exercise, most likely you won't live very long or not live as long. We understand that under the sun. But if we look above the sun, none of that has any power over your life. None of that has anything to retain your life or hold on to it just a little longer or extend it in any way. On a day the Lord requires your physical life, there's nothing you can do. There's no power. There's nothing that you can toil and labor in. No wisdom that you can have that keeps your life when God requires it. When He's numbered your days. There's no man who has dominion over their life. When death has come for you, when the days of the Lord are numbered, are up, there is nothing you can do to repel or resist its coming. Do not even try to war against death. That's what he's talking about here. Psalm 49 says, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth not, ceaseth forever, excuse me, that he should still live forever and not see corruption. For he seeth that wise men die, likewise the fool, and the brutish person perish, and leave their wealth to others. Sounds much like Ecclesiastes. Hebrews 9 says, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Solomon here calls it a war. There is no spear or arrow to shoot that successfully be thrown and loosed in this combat that leads to death or of death. It is vain for any man to attempt to wage war with death. And wickedness will surely not deliver you. You can enter into vanities upon vanities and death will still come. People get so much plastic surgery to their bodies in our days, and nothing will stop death from coming. All come under it. When the days of your life are up, you will die. Every one of us. And so don't look under the sun. Look above the sun. Seek wisdom and be prepared now. That's not saying eat, drink, and be merry, and for tomorrow we die. It's not saying don't seek to be healthy. It's saying look above the sun. Look above the sun. Because today might be the day of your death. Today you might die. And after that, the judgment. Do not go before the Lord in judgment without Christ as your Savior. That is, without first looking above the sun. For your judgment will be, if you don't look to Christ, if you don't look above the sun, your judgment will be an eternity of destruction and punishment forever and ever. We have to stop the looking under the sun and look above the sun to be wise. Today, turn to Christ for salvation from your sins and salvation from eternal death. Be wise. That's where that wisdom starts. Be prepared today. In wisdom, put it on. Put on wisdom. Look above the sun. And be prepared. Wisdom means being prepared by constantly looking to the Lord, constantly meditating upon the Scriptures of His Word to know, to learn His ways, that we might walk in His ways. We look above the sun. We put on wisdom. We be prepared. That is a remedy against the vanities of this world. If we're prepared, if we can discern the times, judgment, all of you and all of us will die on this earth one day, maybe today. In our bodies, we will die, and so be prepared for it. Consider your eternity today. That's what wisdom does. Discern the time and judgment. Wisdom and being prepared. Second this evening, which I believe is the third remedy in this chapter, wisdom and providence. Wisdom and providence. Verse 9. It says, "All this have I seen and applied my heart unto every work that is done under the sun. There is a time wherein one man ruleth over another to his own hurt." Solomon here, for a moment, goes back to the vanities. You can see that at the end of verse 10. So this is also vanity. He's going back to the vanities because he's seen it, he's experienced. Even chapter 7, verse 25, "I applied my heart to know and to search and seek out wisdom and the reason." Excuse me, the reason of things. And then he also said that he was seeking out folly. Consider the observation of things. An observation of God's providence, as we're already thinking about this evening. Psalm 111, verse 2. It says, "The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein." That's wisdom, looking and searching out the works of the Lord, which are great. 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, "Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what and or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow." The wisdom observes God's providence. It does not seek to change God's providence. Wisdom observes God's providence. It does not seek to change it. Here is Solomon. He observes. He sees what we've spoken previously of there, these oppressors. There's governing rulers. Rulers, it says here. Governing rulers who rule over others to their own hurt. Like in our nation, the government ruling in such a way to keep the poor poor. And that's an oppression. We've heard of that before. The vanities that we've looked at previously. Oppression. Whether that's in the free handouts in our nation or by trickery, etc. By bribing here. Free food if you just sit at home and don't work. And then tax season comes and we'll pay you money. Even better. And they remain poor and they're sitting home idly. And we know from Proverbs what the many Puritans have paraphrased what Proverbs says, saying with idle hands find mischief to do. And so we see lots of mischief in especially those communities that are poor. And what is this? We look at the verse again. One man ruleth over another to his own hurt. The one ruling, he says here, is hurt. Before it was the one who was being oppressed was hurt. I forget what chapter that was. By oppressing. But here the one ruling is hurt. Afflicting people under them, inferiors, breaking the fifth commandment by not ruling well, not ruling for the benefit of those who are under you. Proverbs 28, it says, "As a roaring lion and a raging bear, so is a wicked ruler over the poor people. The prince that wanteth understanding or lacketh understanding is also a great oppressor. But he that hateth covetousness shall prolong his days." Which implies that the prince who's a great oppressor is not prolonging his days. Such rulers, the oppressors that are in authority, are to rule for the protection of those under them, for the comfort of those under them. It's the same for rulers in the church, the elders. We rule under Christ's authority for the protection of those under us, protection against sin, protection against evil happening, and comfort in Christ. And when they that rule contrary to that way the Lord has set up in His way, then the oppression of those under such authority, whether in the workplace or in the church, in the government or in the nation, in the home, the Lord at times brings judgment in this life upon those oppressors. And of course, in the life to come, judgment. Isaiah chapter 11 says, "Wherefore it shall come to pass that when the Lord hath performed His whole work upon Mount Zion and on Jerusalem, I will punish the fruit of the stout heart of the king of Assyria and the glory of his high looks." And we remember many other kings like Nebuchadnezzar that the Lord judged and brought low because of his oppression. And this comes in the Lord's providence. It comes that the judgment of such oppressors and then brings about a judgment upon who? That brings a judgment upon the whole nation, right? Upon the whole family, if we're applying it to different areas. Upon the whole family, upon the whole congregation, if it's your elders, etc. When the wicked rise up in a nation, as in our nation, and they continue in sin, and they continue in idolatry, and they continue in rebelling against Christ, judgment comes. Judgment comes. Zechariah 11, it says, "For I will no more pity the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. But lo, I will deliver the men, every one, into his neighbor's hand, and into the hand of his king. And they shall smite the land, and out of their land I will not deliver them." That was the Lord's will. It's His providence that came upon His people there, and upon any nation that rebels against Him. When in the Lord's providence judgment comes upon the nation, upon your rulers, upon the church, we must respond with wisdom. Wisdom, with looking above the sun, with calling upon the Lord in prayer, with trusting the Lord and His plan. All this Solomon is going on about is vanity. It consistently happens that rulers oppress and therefore judgment comes. And so what are we to do? The message of this chapter is be wise. Be discerning. Don't respond too quickly or too hastily. Use discernment about the times. Remember what the Lord said. You wouldn't want to fret if our nation is being judged, and it is being judged. If it's judged even greater, you wouldn't want to fret about that. It's certainly grievous, very sad. We should want better for our nation and be all the more preaching and proclaiming the gospel. But being wise in such a time is to know that it's God who's judging. When it's a tornado and it destroys a whole town, or a hurricane and destroys a city, or earthquakes, or these kind of what people say are natural disasters, or COVID that kills people, be wise. Know who this comes from. Know who these things come from. So all this about vanity, and he's saying, be wise. Verse 10, it says, "And so I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city where they had so done." This is also vanity. He's talking about the rulers, those sitting in judgment, and it's vanity for them to do what they're doing. Coming and going from the place of the holy. You might read that for the first time and you might say, what does that mean? He's talking about sitting in judgment. Right? The kings, all rulers, are supposed to judge and judge justly. Judge under the authority of God. Now the king sits under the authority today of Christ, King of Kings. 2 Chronicles 19, it said, and said to the judges, "Take heed what ye do, for ye judge not for man, but for the Lord, who is with you in the judgment." Psalm 82, verse 1, "God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods there being the rulers." And yet the Lord is not the author of sin. He's not doing wickedness. The wicked rulers rule, they judge. Even in their judgment, according to God's eternal decree and providence, is judgment upon that nation. The earthly king wickedly rules over. Maybe what you're thinking is happening now in our nation with our rulers. It is happening in our nation with wicked rulers. But here he's talking about the wicked rulers, but then he's talking about here that they're buried. It says he's buried. The magistrate buried, the king buried. They get the flatteries and the formalities of the extravagant funeral, right? In our nation, some of those congressmen or former presidents or justices, they get their coffin laid in the atrium or whatever, the big place in the middle of the House of Congress and rotunda. There you go. They get the formalities of that. If you go to Britain, they get like a carriage ride with this gold plated carriage drawn by horses, and it's all fancy and all that. And that's what Solomon's talking about. And if they get this extravagant funeral, and if they're wicked, what happens? They're buried. What happens to them under the sun? They're buried. You can have a grand affair or a funeral, but in the end, everyone is buried. That's what Solomon is talking about. It's vanity. Think of the passage in Luke 16. Luke 16, it's a longer passage. I'm going to read at the beginning. It speaks of the burial of one and the eternal life of the other. It says, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen." He's the one who's getting the burial. He's the one who's, in this illustration I'm using, is parallel to the king. "A certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went in to them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Well, Solomon, he saw the wicked buried. They were ultimately forgotten in the city, as the verse says, verse 10 says. They're forgotten in the city where they had so ruled. Vanity of vanities. They all die. Whether rich or poor, king, just a common person. Each one dies. To live a life for this earth under the sun is vanity. The man buried pleads, just go tell my family so that they don't suffer these eternal torments like I'm suffering. Well, no, that's not God's way. God's way is today. Listen to my word. Listen to God's word. It's not the dead or people rose up from the dead that you have to listen to. It's God's word. It's living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword word. Listen to the scriptures. Today you must listen to His word. Stop listening to your desires. Stop listening to your wants and your emotions, what you believe you need. The God of Scripture, even Moses, the prophets, proclaimed the Lord's word unto you that you need a Savior, that you need to turn from your sin, turn from your vanities, turn from your flesh and your fleshly ways, and turn to the Lord in humility to submit to the King of Kings who died and was buried and rose from the dead. Listen to Him. He speaks. Now, none of us here will be great kings or rulers, most likely. And if this is true of them, that they are all buried and they're forgotten, then how much more you is that true of? You'll be buried and you'll be forgotten. It's more true of you than them. So to put on wisdom and look above the sun, discerning the providence of God and all that happens in life, whether good or hard, look above the sun and consistently turn your hearts unto the Lord, lest we be pushed down to the pit like that rich man. Lift your eyes from your circumstances and the many providences of God that come to you, good and dark or good and hard. Lift your eyes from the circumstances to Christ the King. Christ who loves all of God's children. Who lives today, having risen from the dead, to all who call upon His name for salvation. Lift your eyes always to Jesus. That's what Solomon is pointing to. That's what wisdom is. Just looking to Jesus. It has practical effects. There's actions that are taken because you keep looking to Jesus, but that's the basis. That's the foundation. Look to Jesus. Look above the sun. Let's pray. Our Father, thank You for Your word. We're thankful for the Scriptures. We pray that we would have hearts, minds, ears, wills, affections to listen by the grace of Your Holy Spirit. That we would not play the fool like the rich man. But that we would listen to Moses and the prophets and all of Your word. Because wisdom is laid out before us in Your word. Wisdom is found in our Savior alone. Found in You, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the triune God. And so we must look above the sun. Help us and teach us Your ways. Help us and teach us to look above the sun. It's very hard for us. It is impossible for us, except by the working of Your Holy Spirit in our hearts. So work by Your Spirit. Sanctify us and make us more and more to look above the sun. That we would be saved from this earth and the vanities of this earth, the lust of the flesh, the world and the devil. And put us on the strong foundation of Christ Your Son, we pray in His name. Amen.